If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, January 10th, 2022. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, just like he's standing outside. Jake Gutierrez, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. The regular season is over. The playoffs are here. And the Kansas City Chiefs will be hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 9-7-1, come calling to Arrowhead Stadium. And it should be a very familiar trip for the Steelers, as they were just here and got their asses handed to them not very long ago. Not predicting that same thing will happen, but of all the matchups that we were talking about, obviously we did not think that the Pittsburgh Steelers were a probable matchup. They weren't. I think you only had an 8% chance of making the playoffs when the day began. But not only did they make the playoffs, they earn a return trip to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. But of all these matchups that we were talking about, possibly the Chargers, possibly the Colts, those were the two most likely matchups for the Chiefs. And neither one of those teams made the playoffs. Going into Saturday, those were the two most likely opponents for the Chiefs. And both of them are sitting at home. It was going to be the Chargers. And if it wasn't the Chargers, then certainly it was going to be the Colts. But the Chargers lose, the Colts lose, and now a team that on December 26th came to Arrowhead Stadium and lost 36-10. That's the team that's going to be here. And it was almost the Raiders. If the game would have ended in a tie last night, it would have been the Raiders coming to Arrowhead Stadium. And so, even though the Colts lost, even though the Chargers lost, I think the Steelers are a much better matchup for the Chiefs. The Raiders, that would have been fabulous. But if you give me a choice between the Steelers and the Raiders, I think I might even take the Steelers, because their quarterback is. I don't want to do this. I promised myself I'm not going to get into this. I'm not going to be overconfident. I love the Chiefs matchup against the Steelers. Why wouldn't you? You just saw it, and it was 36-10. It looked like a great matchup. But again, what we need to learn, if we take anything away from what happened yesterday, anything can happen in this freaking league. I mean, when you would bring up the possibility of Timageddon, a tie could throw the NFL into a wild roller coaster ride. Jake mocked you,
yep,
and said, "No chance of that happening because Jacksonville would have to beat the Colts, and that's not happening." Right, Jake? You dismissed it, like most everyone else, but that's
I don't think I was alone in that.
He told me to stick to soccer.
I only talk about the people on the show, but right, it was dismissed. That's how ridiculous that was, right?
Well, I think you dismissed it as well.
Right, I'm not arguing with you, but so that's how ridiculous that was, right? It wasn't even a possibility.
No, it was 8% chance, right? That seemed high.
But my point is, you were bringing up the tie thing, and no, you know.
No, that's not going to happen.
I'm just bringing you up because you shouted him down in that instance. And so, but that's was the opinion of most everyone in the NFL. Even though, for some reason, we failed to acknowledge that the Colts don't win in Jacksonville. Not since 2014. And that, I guess that's real. But my point is, that wasn't even on the table. It was not on the table. If you remember when I mentioned the Raiders as a possible opponent for the Chiefs in the first round, we had a couple of people that sent me tweets. Oh, that's not possible. The Raiders can't be an opponent. They were a missed field goal away from being the Chiefs' opponent in the first round.
Or a non-timeout by the idiot coach on the other sideline.
Well, you're going to fall into that trap, huh? That debate went on all night last night. So now you. So what are you saying? What do you think?
Well, I saw Derek Carr say they probably would have played for the tie had they not called the timeout.
That's not what he said.
Well, he said it changed their thinking.
He said he changed their thinking, but we were always going for the win. He didn't say okay. They were playing for the tie.
Okay.
You got to listen to the whole clip.
Okay.
He said, well, I didn't want to get off on this real quick, but he said, yes, it changed our thinking, but we were always going for the win. We were always going to try to kick the field goal. I mean, some people took the first part of what he said and tweeted that out to everybody, but they didn't play the rest of the statement. Where he said they were always going for the win.
Okay.
And so they've gone back and forth on this about what happened last night. The timeout was called. Brandon Staley said that he wanted to get his best run defense package into the game because he didn't have it in the game. And Derek Carr said that right after the game with Michelle Tafoya, said that, and you could, if you find that, I can get the whole clip for you, but the whole clip is that, of course, it changed their approach, but we were always going for the win. We were going to try to, you know, kick the winning field goal. Now, Mitchell Schwartz, there's a picture that was tweeted out that showed the Chargers only having 9 guys on the field. That was zoomed in. There was 11 guys on the field. He didn't like the personnel, supposedly. Brandon Staley, that was on the field, he wanted to get their best run defense out there. I thought the timeout was kind of goofy because Mitchell Schwartz pointed out that it looked like even though they were lining up in the shotgun, that they were still going to run the football, and they weren't, they weren't showing a sense of urgency that you would expect a team that was trying to hurry up and kick a field goal. And so, and again, this debate went back and forth. I probably read this stuff until 1 a.m. people fighting about this. I think the Raiders were going to run the football on that third down if a timeout hadn't been called, and if they would have had a nice pickup. Well, it was a 57-yard field goal anyway. I think they were content to try a long field goal. Or who knows, maybe if they lose yardage or they don't want to risk getting a field goal blocked or return for a touchdown, maybe they just let the clock. I think they tried the field goal, and that's what Carr said in the continuation of his comments. But man, people took like one clip of what he said and one badly taken still shot from the field of only 9 guys. And then you zoom out, oh, there's 11 guys on there. And people were using false information in the argument. I thought that the timeout was kind of goofy, but then Staley said he wanted to get his best run defense package out there. And then they gave up 10 yards.
Well, the problem with that is what I saw from Emmanuel Acho was he said that, but then they took their linebacker off the field and put a safety.
Who was horrible all night long, okay. And who was a liability. Murray, you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can tell you is what the head coach said. And he said that's why he called the timeout. Okay, you want to play Staley then? Well, play Staley.
To get into the right grouping, we felt like they were going to run the ball, so we wanted to get our best 11 personnel run defense in, make that substitution so that we could, you know, get a play where we would deepen the field goal.
Derek Carr said after the game that timeout changed their mentality. Do you think that had any reason to do with them?
I don't think it changed their mindset because they were going to run the ball on the play before, and then they ran the ball the very next play. So we wanted to make sure that we got our run defense in there. And we obviously didn't execute well enough, but we wanted to get our premium one-back run defense in here, and that's what we did.
Was any part of the motivation for you saving time to potentially win it if they were to miss that field goal?
My mindset was to make the field goal as long as possible.
So that's what Staley said after the game. So, I mean, either you take him at his word or not.
Yeah. That's weird. I mean, that's a pretty big indictment on your linebacker if you decide to go nickel against the run, to stop the run. So I guess, hey, who knows?
Right.
Anyway, the point being is it could have easily been the Raiders. You were trying to make the point that it could have been the Raiders.
Right. It could have been the Raiders. But the timeout, people can debate and go back and forth. Get the whole clip from Carr. And that was, you know.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I saw the tweet about Carr's quote.
He was misrepresented because that's the first thing he said. Yeah. But then nobody tweeted out what he said in the rest of his comment.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody, you know, and so then, well, hey, listen to the whole answer that he gave. And so that's why it kind of went, there were people making an argument on Carr's behalf that he didn't make. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought the timeout was kind of goofy, but if they're really trying to get their best run defense out there and they know they're going to run the football, I mean, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It just looked like, and Mitchell Schwartz pointed out, it looked like the Raiders really didn't have a sense of urgency. They were content to just, hey, try to run the football out of shotgun. And if they picked up enough yards, kick a field goal. Or maybe they were always going to try a long field goal. Do you think if it was a 57-yard field goal and that was the last play of the game, they're going to try a 57-yard field goal and risk it being blocked and returned? Or do you think they would have knelt the ball?
I think you kneel it there.
I think the Raiders say they would have tried to kick a field goal. It's a great debate. I guess no one will ever really know.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is the Chargers, whatever defensive package they had in there, couldn't stop that last run, and that made it a 47-yard field goal, which isn't a chip shot either. But that guy's never missed a field goal at home, and so there's a possibility he would have made the 57-yard field goal. Point is, you can't take anything for granted in this league anymore. You can't just look at a game on paper and say, well, that team's going to win for sure, and so that's how things are going to go. That's what we have to take away from this. It's happened all week long. Every week, there's a result that nobody expected. Who could have possibly predicted that Jacksonville, a team that just gave up 50 points to the Patriots, were going to lose to a Colts in a game that the Colts had to win to get in the playoffs? Who? Max Kellerman. That's the only person that I heard say the Jags were going to win. And who knows if he really believes that, because ESPN sometimes gives their guys assignments. Okay, we want you to say this to create some discourse. And Jake, I just brought you up because that's what I remember when he talked about and he brought the ties up. We were both dismissive of that. And you said, well, the problem with with that scenario is that means the Jags have to win, and that's not happening. No one argued with you because the Jags weren't going to win, and they did. And they kicked the Colts right in the ass. The game wasn't close. That game wasn't close. That game was really never in doubt. But let me leave you with this. We're talking about coaches and everything. We kind of get off track, but let me leave you with this. If you would have used this example to call, what did you call Staley?
I said idiot. I was going to say,
I mean, happened over there? If you would have used this example, then I really would have. Listen, two coaches making two of the dumbest decisions that I've seen. Let's start on Saturday. Vic Fangio, former Denver Broncos head coach. Now he can throw all the quarterbacks under the bus he wants as he's no longer a head coach. He can go back to being a defensive coordinator. Fourth and nine at the Kansas City 13. They're down 7 with less than 5 minutes left. He kicked a field goal. He sent the field goal kicker out there. Did anyone think they were going to get the football back? Or did you think they were going to get the football back with a chance to, you know, if the only way they got the football back is if the Chiefs would have scored a touchdown. And the only reason the Chiefs didn't score a touchdown is they knelt it to end the game. They took a knee because they ran the clock out. If I was the Broncos ownership, I would have went to the field as the field goal kicker was walking on the field and fired him on the spot. And who knows? Maybe they're talking to themselves, doing, hey, you know what, boy, they really answered the call. You know, he hasn't lost the team. Look at that. And he's kicking a field goal down seven against the Chiefs. You got nothing to lose except your job, I guess. But what the hell? If there's ever a time, fourth and nine, and the way I look at it is, when you have something like that, when you have a decision like that, do what your opponent fears. Did anyone fear a field goal attempt there?
No.
You know what I feared? I feared fourth and nine, them throwing a pass and the Chiefs getting called for a penalty, like I've seen so many times.
Or Drew Lock running it right up the middle.
Right. That's what I feared. I hate that. I hate when so many teams go for the fourth down over and over against the Chiefs. Where's that out? What did you want the Broncos to do there on fourth and nine, down seven?
Kick the field goal.
I didn't think that was on the table, but I would have said, boy, I hope they kick a field goal here. Instead, I'm like, they're kicking a field goal? Does he know it's the fourth quarter? Does he know that? And I'm like, okay, great. Now, are the chances high they would have converted on fourth and nine? I don't know. Probably not. But how many terrible flags have we seen? How many times have we seen the Chiefs defensive back flag for holding or pass interference? Or like you just said, Drew Lock run for a first down or something stupid, right? What did you fear? What did you not want to happen? I did not want them to go for it and get a first down with something stupid and end up tying the game. He kicked the field goal. He surrendered. He waved the white flag. That's unbelievable. Am I wrong? You tell me if I'm wrong about this. And that right there, that play sums up Vic Fangio as a head coach. There it is. But of course, after the game, he decides to throw his quarterback under the bus one more time. Throw yourself under the bus. But you know what? Ownership did that for you. They threw you under the bus and they fired you. Well, what a terrible decision. What an awful experience it would have been to have that guy as your head coach. Unfortunately for Chiefs fans, it's over. He got fired. I'll tell you about the other decision that I thought was crazy after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Yeah, this debate will go all day long. And so then if you ask yourself, so what do the Raiders have to benefit from winning the game versus tying the game? Well, do you want to play the Chiefs again? Or do you want to go take a shot at the Bengals, who, when's the last time they won a playoff game? I mean, honestly, yeah. How did it go the last time the Raiders were at Arrowhead?
Not well for the Raiders.
Would that incentivize, and this is an honest question, would that incentivize you guys to win the game and try to kick a field goal at the end? Because if you tie, then you go to Arrowhead. If you win, you go to the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes a difference. Sure. I think, to me, what the Raiders were doing was, it appeared to me that they were, if they could win the game without risking too much, they were going to do it. You know what I mean?
Like, and they were kind of do a half-assed run out of shotgun, as Mitchell Schwartz pointed out and diagrammed and showed you why they were going to run the ball on Twitter. And I'll lean towards Mitchell Schwartz on that one when he says he thought that was going to be a run based on what the offensive line was doing. But then when Staley called a timeout to get his best run package in there, run defense package, then allowed the Raiders to, you know, settle down, line up, and pick up 10 yards on the run, because it seemed like there wasn't a sense of urgency. They were content to run the football one more time and then try to kick a long field goal. It would have been a 57-yarder there. Whatever yardage you pick up, lessons, 10 yards made it a 47-yarder. And so bottom line is this, Chargers didn't stop the run.
Yeah.
The Chargers had to stop the run. And again, that's – here is what I couldn't believe. Okay? And look, don't get me wrong. I understand how important analytics are. I understand their place. And really, you have to. You have to understand their place in the NFL. Right? Because that's the nature of the beast. Baseball and football, there's been a revolution. But I get irritated, I think you do as well sometimes, at the arrogance analytics people can be really condescending and can argue with people like, well, I'll give you, like yesterday I was watching with Mitchell Schwartz, or people that really know the game and that have played the game, and just absolutely dismiss their opinions and dismiss their ideas because the numbers say so.
They're doing their own research.
And it's just like, you know, how about understand that it's a marriage of both?
Yeah.
Okay?
And it's also possible for guys like Mitchell Schwartz, who also played the game and know what it's like to be inside a locker room every week and prep, and also study some analytics, because the Schwartz brothers study that stuff too a little bit. But anyway, go ahead.
In the third quarter of a 17-14 game, the Chargers went for it on fourth and one from inside their own 20. Someone explain that to me.
I'm sure there's a mathematician out there that will explain it to you.
But I'm asking you guys to explain that to me. In a close game, why would you? And then they forced a three and out after they turned the ball over on downs, but they just handed 3 points to the Raiders. Did it appear that those 3 points were meaningful at the end of the game?
Well, the Raiders won by three in overtime, so yeah, I think every point mattered.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you be happy with your coach if he did that?
No. I wouldn't. I mean, I think that the Chargers being 9-8, I mean, Staley, we talked about all the times he went for it on fourth down against the Chiefs and, you know, all the charts he brought out to back that up and explain it. But, you know, he can use his analytics all he wants to explain why his team's home for the postseason. You know, you can use all the math you want to explain why your team with that quarterback choked away a chance to go to the playoffs. I mean, the fact that the Chargers are home for the postseason and the Raiders are in, I mean, if you're the owner of the Chargers, which you probably don't even know they had a game yesterday because, you know, that I don't know. But
he ran on the field in the overtime. Spanos.
I mean,
Jake, it was fourth and one.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to explain this to you.
But I want you to.
I'm not going to. I cannot.
It was fourth and one.
It's not possible in my mind.
Okay, the score of the game was Raiders 17, Chargers 14. It was fourth and one at their own 18 with 8:57 left in the third quarter. Halfway through the third quarter of a three-point game.
Mm-mm. I'm all for guys going for it on fourth and short when you get to midfield.
How about your own 18?
Yeah, that's the thing. No, I'm not for that because, so, like you said, if you don't get it's automatic points.
Right.
Automatic points.
Okay, what's the upside of that?
That's the thing.
A first down at your own 19?
Yeah.
What's the downside of that?
No points.
Automatic points.
Yeah.
No points for you.
Like,
no, the upside.
No, I know.
Is there's
you still
first
got 80
down
yards to go.
But what's the downside? Automatic points. In a close game. What was the score when the regulation ended? It was tied.
Right.
Mm-hmm. By the way, it'll get lost, I'm sure, over the course of the next several weeks because they lost the game. That was one of the most unbelievable fourth quarter performances by a quarterback that I've ever seen. When they were down 15 with how much time left? 5 minutes left?
Well, let's see. When did he throw the interception?
How many fourth downs did the Chargers convert? Like necessary fourth downs. I think in total in the game, six. He threw a touchdown on fourth and 21. Then he threw the other touchdown on fourth down as well. Or no, with no time left. But, I mean, he picked up a couple of fourth downs on the way to that last touchdown.
Yeah, he conververted five fourth downs on the last two drives.
Yeah, the last drive he had three fourth down conversions.
How many times in the last two drives they go, okay, this is it. Chargers don't convert here, and he'd make some Superman throw while he was being sabotaged by, what's his name, Storm Norman? The guy that's going up against Max Crosby and getting eviscerated every single play. How many times did Max Crosby hit Herbert's hand, arm, leg, or something during those last few drives? And they didn't want to use Cook to chip because they wanted him out there as a receiver. And then finally they had to keep him in because of the mismatch. And how many passes did the Chargers receivers drop? Oh, it was unbelievable. What Herbert did in the final 5 minutes, and then they still lost, but still. Unbelievable. But I can't get over the fact that they went for it on a 4th-and-1 at their own 18 in a close game midway through the third quarter. Well, break, if you guys please tell me I'm wrong. Because I wanna be enlightened and see what he sees, and with all these numbers guys that say all the football guys are stupid. Of course you go for it on 4th-and-1 at your own 18 in the third quarter of a 3-point game. Of course you do. Why? What? What am I missing?
Were analytics people saying that?
So does that mean what? Staley did it!
He's probably got all kinds
of
charts,
things
he can break out.
They have to back whatever he says now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because you got to get dug in on whatever your
opinion
is on this stuff.
Does that mean like you're an old worn-out football guy, the game's passed you by because you don't think you should go for it on 4th-and-1 from your own 18? Midway through the third quarter?
No, I think the rule is common sense prevails, and I think that common sense is to take the points.
I would, you know how pissed off I'd be at him? If I was one of the players, if I was ownership or anybody, why would you do that? I don't know, who knows if that affects, but still. That had a pretty big you gifted them 3 points. You don't have to do anything but stop. You stopped them, but then offensively did nothing. Oh, 3 points because of where they took the ball over.
Just have them. At least, it could have been worse.
Risk, right? But risk versus reward. I'm usually
in favor of teams going for it on fourth down more often than they have.
Oh, you're forward thinking, but that's why I'm asking you. Yeah, make a case for it.
No.
And I'll listen.
No,
I want you to.
Nate's
going to make a case for it today at 7:30. Well, I mean, you can't.
No.
Unless you can. I mean, I don't know. Could you?
No.
not in that set and setting, no. Like, the only time, like I remember Bill Belichick did it when he was playing Peyton Manning, you know. Okay. They had it, like, on their own 20. And they didn't want to give the ball back to, you know, punt and give it back to
them. But in that situation, is that...
No, it doesn't make any sense.
So you got Vic Fangio, who won't go for it when the game's on the line, you know, inside his own 20. You can't make him go for it. And you should have nothing to lose, just go for it. And Staley, you can't keep him from going for it. I'd like to see those two guys in a room, just talk football for an hour and then fight each other. It'd be fantastic. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. I mean to tell you, yesterday, even going back to the theatrics of Saturday, what unbelievable entertainment Saturday and Sunday provided for NFL fans. I mean, that's why it's the best. Nothing compares to it. We all love other sports. Nothing compares to that. Nothing. Sinead O'Connor says nothing compares to you, NFL. Nothing. I only mention that because Prince wrote that song. Nothing compares to it. Watching Red Zone Channel and watching everything happen, watching that Steelers-Ravens game and seeing what's happening to the Colts. And then what better theater could you ask for than what Sunday Night Football provided last night between the Raiders and the Chargers?
I mean,
regardless of all the decisions and everything else, what unbelievable theater. And right till the very end, you don't know if the Steelers go into the playoffs, if both those teams go into the playoffs, and for Chiefs fans, right up to the end, is it going to be the Steelers or is it going to be the Raiders? You couldn't go to sleep. And if you went to sleep, I feel bad for that. Was the final 5 minutes and in the overtime, it was. That's why the NFL is so great. I mean, what could be better than that? Well, the playoffs. This upcoming wild card weekend is going to be better than that. But just the Broncos gave the Chiefs all they wanted. And if not for a fantastic play by Melvin Ingram and Nick Bolton.
and a screw up by the Broncos on that play. All those things.
Yeah. Then the Chiefs may not win. They may have lost that game. The Broncos, you know, and Vic Fangio's absolute reluctance to coach to win. And yes, and you know what? And I felt so proud of that play because I banged the drum and campaigned for the Chiefs to draft Nick Bolton and sign Melvin Ingram and then trade for Melvin Ingram. And the biggest play of that game that won that game was a combination of Melvin Ingram and Nick Bolton, brought to you by the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And it saved us from talking about not calling a challenge on a what looked to me be a fumble.
Well, yeah, you know, I couldn't, you know, they never gave a great camera angle.
They gave one angle, but still the fact that
I'd be too nervous that they would say he didn't make a football move, but it could have been. I know Bo Richter thought it was a fumble.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm maybe. That, maybe.
That's what we probably would be talking about.
But what a play, you know.
Don't have to talk about
I don't
it.
Care that they missed a block. What a play by Melvin Ingram.
Stud. What a great pickup.
What an acquisition.
Beach. Yeah. Yep.
And guess what? As we've seen, it ain't always easy. Remember last night when Carr got stripped by Bosa and it looked like the Chargers defensive player had the ball right in his hands and falls down and somehow he doesn't end up with it? How many times have you seen a defensive player unable to recover the fumble or try to do something with it? And so that was a great play by Nick Bolton. Lock had a hold of him, didn't tackle him, and I don't know if you saw the interview after the game with Nick Bolton. They were making fun of him. He almost fell down.
Twice.
He almost fell down. Yeah. And Mecole Hardman ran. And by the way, hell of a game by Mecole Hardman.
Yep, 100 yards, first time.
Mecole Hardman runs up to Nick Bolton. And when Nick Bolton's getting interviewed, Nick Bolton's kind of nervous. He's not great at the microphone. He's a rookie. And he's getting the star treatment, being interviewed on the field. And Mecole Hardman runs up to him. We got to find that clip. That was hilarious. He goes, but why are you so slow, man? He said he pulled both hamstrings on that play. And Nick Bolton, did you almost hit Nick Bolton? Yeah, I almost fell. I'm just glad I didn't fall. But what a fantastic play.
But
man, I don't know if they win without that play. I don't know. That's how that game went.
No, it looked like the Broncos were on their way to winning that game. That play turned everything around in that game. Everything. And, yeah. I mean, I had some people tell, you know, because I said, what an amazing play by Ingram. People were like, well, did you notice that there was a complete breakdown in the block?
It was an amazing play by Ingram and Bolton.
It's still a great play. You have to attack that and make the hit and force the fumble and all those things, and he did it.
Jake, Nate, the Cardinals, if they win, they win the division. And they lost to the Seahawks. The Rams needed to win to secure the division. They still won it anyway because the Cardinals blew it. And they lost in overtime to the 49ers. The Texans and Davis Mills gave the Titans all they wanted.
You talk about recovering fumbles. They forced a fumble in the second half during that comeback, and one of the linebackers for the Texans had it. It was like at the 15-yard line, 20-yard line, and then it popped out of his hands, and the Titans were able to recover it and punt the ball after that.
And the Jags beat the Colts 26-11. Take nothing for granted. It's all nothing on the table. This, and if all hell is going to break loose in these playoffs. You just can't judge stuff on paper anymore in the NFL because of parity. I mean, if there was ever a sure thing, was it not Colts-Jags?
Should have been.
How do you get your ass kicked like that in a must-win situation against a team that just had 50 put up on them, and they have the number one overall draft pick? I can't figure it out. What a terrible tank job by the Colts.
The Colts and Chargers both just absolutely threw away, you know, their chance to go to the playoffs.
Those are the two most likely opponents for the Chiefs last week.
And all we talked
this
about
week
is
they're out.
And all we talked about is how, boy, those two teams are dangerous. You don't want to see them in the playoffs. Well, you don't have to.
I don't really care about it. I didn't feel that way too much about the Colts. But thank goodness the Chargers are out good.
Well, I feel like a lot of people on our show last week were talking about how dangerous the Colts are.
Get out of here,
oh,
Chargers.
Oh, man, they can run the ball. They got defense.
But, man, don't take nothing for granted. Don't take nothing for granted, I'm telling you. I love the matchup against the Steelers. don't take nothing for granted. The NFL has taught us that this year, and we need to finally pay attention because it was shown again yesterday. Don't take nothing for granted. Back after this on WHB. Let's listen to Nick Bolton being interviewed on the field after the Chiefs win against the Broncos. Number 13 in a row, by the way. And Mecole Hardman runs by and interrupts the interview.
Nick, how do you think a tough test like this actually helps you heading into the playoffs?
Slow, though. I don't understand. You almost pulled a hamstring. I'm just trying to figure it out, bro.
Yeah.
I'm slow, too. I got caught, too. It's okay.
Mecole Hardman is one of the fastest guys on the team, so him calling you slow is okay.
No, for sure.
And Mecole Hardman had a nice game, his first 100-yard game in his NFL career. And so, and they needed him because Tyreek Hill was not 100% and was not available for a full complement of plays because of his sore heel. And Travis Kelce was banged up. As you saw, boy, did you see the video of him walking off the field after the win?
Oof.
Having a couple of teammates help him? That certainly is scary. But bottom line is the Chiefs won. And the Colts got into a mess, and they couldn't get out of it. The Chiefs got into a mess against the Broncos, and they found a way to get it done. The Broncos, all, you know, they were did no favors by their former head coach, but the Chiefs, man, that started on that drive before the Ingram-Bolton touchdown. That felt bad. Right?
Yeah.
It did not feel good.
Yep.
But the Chiefs beat the Broncos because that's what they do. 13 times in a row, and now the Broncos are off to look for another head coach. Back after this on WHB. All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to Todd Lebo, Gary Lezak, Adam Teicher, and Bill Moss. Chiefs host the Steelers Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium in round number one of the NFL playoffs. Back after this with more on Sports Radio 810 WHB.